everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Universe Within podcast. This episode of the show is being sponsored by my friends over at a company called Real Mushrooms, realmushrooms.com. Sky Chilton and his father, Jeff Chilton. I interviewed Jeff a number of episodes ago. Really interesting guys. I really enjoyed that conversation with Jeff. And it's a company that sells and distributes medicinal mushrooms in powder or capsule form. I was really happy to have these guys come on. I think they're very much in alignment with the values of the podcast. As you all know, a big part of this podcast is about plant medicine, holistic medicine, and I think the benefits of medicinal mushrooms are truly fantastic, and I think there's really a growing body of work that's really showing and alluding to all of the amazing properties that mushrooms have. They sell a lot of different mushrooms, things you've probably heard of, like reishi, chaga, lion's mane, turkey tail, cordyceps. Those are all mushrooms I work with. They're part of what I consider, for myself, a really holistic supplement regime. And the thing I really love about their company, not only are they really good guys, I think they're really ethical guys, The product is really amazing. It's all 100% mushrooms. They're organic, and that's really rare. For better or for worse, the supplement industry is highly unregulated, and so often when you get supplements, you don't necessarily know what you're getting. You may be getting some mushroom, you may be getting a bunch of fillers and other things. Oftentimes, even when you're buying what may be a mushroom, it may not have any of that mushroom in it at all, unfortunately. Even some of the big, I think even the biggest company that sells mushrooms, actually it's not the fruiting body, not the mushroom itself. It's the mycelial, which is grown on grain, and then those things are mixed up and then sold in a supplement form. So not only are you not getting the mushroom itself, you're getting the mycelium mixed with grain. So it's one of the amazing things at Real Mushrooms is it's exactly that. It's Real Mushrooms. So it's 100% mushrooms, organic. So you know you're getting a really good product. You're getting the actual fruiting body, the mushroom itself, 100% of that. And again, just really great guys. I'm really happy to have them on and supporting this podcast. So if you'd like a really good product, you'd like to start working with medicinal mushrooms, check out their site, realmushrooms.com. And also listeners of the show, if you go to their site, realmushrooms.com/universe, you get 25% off your first order, which is a really good deal. And I think once you start working and tasting their products, you'll really see and feel a big difference. So thank you to them. And I think that's it. And without further ado, here is the intro to the show.
On this episode of the podcast, I sat down with Branislav Vinogrodsky. Branislav is a really fascinating guy. He was introduced to me by mutual friends and family on a trip that I recently took to Russia. He's a very fascinating guy. He's an author, a translator, really interesting in that he translated a lot of ancient Chinese texts, specifically on Taoism, into Russian. He's done a lot of work with tea and bringing tea more out into the public. As we talked about, kind of in his personal practice, he's even worked with mushrooms such as Amanita muscaria. But he has a very, very deep understanding of Taoism, which I think, as I mentioned very briefly at the beginning of this podcast, is really one of the things that really got me interested in all of the work I do. The Tao Te Ching was one of the first books I read, kind of my own volition as a child, and it had a profound impact on my life. So it was really interesting hearing his perspective of someone who's deeply familiar with these texts in their original language and who's worked with it, translated it, played with it, come at these texts from his own perspective. For me, it was a really fascinating conversation, and I think even this is one of those podcasts you could listen to a number of times times, and each time pick up on new gems of what he's speaking about. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation.
Also, if you are interested in working with plants and working with myself, my colleague Marav Artsy and myself, probably when this comes out, we will have finished our plant medicine retreat, our plant medicine dieta here in the Sacred Valley of Peru. But we have two more dietas or plant medicine retreats coming up. One is scheduled for May in Portugal, and the other is August in Ontario, Canada. So if you're interested in working with plants and working with plant medicine and exploring that, if you've already worked with plants and you're interested in going deeper, or if it's your first time and you're interested in just exploring all that plants have to offer as medicine, as a healing tool, as a teacher, really working in this traditional system of doing a dieta, of going into isolation, of fasting, and working with one specific plant, in general trees that we work with, through the medium of tobacco. These are really wonderful opportunities to do that. Predominantly, as many of you know, we're working via the medium of tobacco, but really connecting with trees. And most of the trees we're working with are Amazonian trees in the tradition we were trained in. But more and more, we've been really inspired to begin working with both North American and European trees, especially kind of in the base of this Celtic system. So more and more we're beginning to work with these trees like olive, oak, hawthorn, elder, alder. And every year we hope to diet more of these trees ourselves so we can begin to connect deeper with them. So some of the trees hopefully that in the future we'll begin working with are things like hazel, willow, aspen, poplar, birch, and really just a whole range, a whole pantheon of trees, but very much inspired by this, the Celtic tradition. So if you'd like more info on that, if you find that interesting or you'd like to learn more, you can check out my website at nicotianarustica.org and also Marav's site at tobaccodiets.com, and I will put a link to both of those in the show notes.
As always, if you're able to help to support this podcast, that's a really big help to me. Patreon is a really good option. It's a subscription service. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. There's different tiers you can sign up for. Those tiers give you different things back, things like early access to shows, bonus material, Q&As. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. To all of the people who have supported that way, to all of the patrons, as always, thank you very much for your support. It's really what helps to keep this podcast going. And if you're able to do that, thank you very much in advance. If you're not able to, as always, helping to support the algorithms, helping to drive the algorithms is a really big help to get the show up to a bigger audience. So if you're viewing on this on YouTube or Rumble, hitting the subscribe button, turning on the notification bell, liking the video, all of those things are really helpful. Leaving any questions or comments in the comments section. And if you're viewing this, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leaving a starred rating and a short review, all of those things are very helpful. So I think that's it with the intro. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Branislav. I think the first thing that very much interested me in the world of spirituality was the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. And I think this actually started my journey. So I was very fascinated to hear that you've translated his book.
Many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I translated this book many times. And in Chinese tradition, my focus of my interest is in four fields, I would say. First one is Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. I began from the translation of the basic Chinese medicine treatise, which is the Yellow Emperor classic. Mm-hmm. Yes, I translated it from big books. And also I translated maybe also other texts, about several thousand pages, you know, just other classical Chinese medicine text. Then, this is first. Second one is Chinese calendar and prognostication, temporal semantic systems, I would say. So this is the other one. I've also made a lot of translation on every kind of, now, which is called calculation of the destiny, which is the discipline in Chinese metaphysics, or just conditionally, not necessarily metaphysics, because it's really, I would say, it's calendrical mathematics, as Jose Arguelles just put it in Mayan tradition. You know, I was a very good friend of him, and we met sometimes in different parts of the world and spent some time together. Yes, I was not so much interested in Mayan tradition as he was interested in Book of Changes, you know, but we had a very good communication, and I helped him with translations when he came to Russia. So I knew his approach to this, and his term of calendrical mathematics is a very good one, you know, because when you encounter with Book of Changes and prognostication, prediction systems, you see that it's very, very difficult, very complex approach to mathematical sort of things. So this is the second medicine, calendrical prognostication system. The third one is Book of Changes. Book of Changes, I say that this is a temporal semantic coder. Temporal semantic coder, you know, just it's about consciousness, about semantic system, and its development and progress in time, temporal. Number four, this is all what's called Chinese wisdom, and it is mostly Taoist, which is Laozi, Zhuangzi. I've made translation many times. I translated Laozi. And in a different style and in different approaches, just I made maybe five or six type of translation of Laozi, and I made translation of Zhuangzi as well, you know, just in some other text of Taoism, because at the same time, you should know that Yellow Emperor Treatise is also a Taoist text, because Taoism in Chinese is called Huan Laozi Dao, or the way of Huan Li, Yellow Emperor, and Zhuangzi. And the Yellow Emperor is a predecessor of Zhuangzi, actually, just in time. And he put a Chinese calendar at the same time in 3696, maybe, BC. Just he launched the beginning of the cycle of the calendar, which is now calculated with all this Chinese New Year and so on, still working on the planet in Chinese field of cognitive, I would say, approach to the world. But Laozi was the beginning, and Laozi, the beginning from the Tao character, which is at the same time being, a scheme of the interaction of body and mind, or consciousness and kernel aspects of you, of yourself, of the human being. And but China actually consists of all those numerical successions of images, you know, just because Book of Changes says that you must communicate with images and numerals. Actually, just because in the Book of Changes, the which is called hexagram in English, and but I don't use this term in my translation. I call the sign, actually, the sign, and there are three lines sign and six line signs. You know, just if you approach literally to that what's written in Chinese text, and it's explained that this sign. This is the instrument to grab or to take the image, you know, just use it in order to catch the image, you know, just and by the images and numerals, you can follow the track of the development of semantic system in the labyrinth of consciousness and time, temporal semantic coder, like this. But you should at the same time take into account that actually Book of Changes, this was in Chinese it's called Wan Jin Zhi Shou, which means the head of all books, number one, the head or progenitor of all books, the book number one, you know, which creates all the other books. This is one. And the second, actually, in the system of Chinese classical education, of administrative class of China, you know, during at least 2,500 years, beginning from Confucius, and it was it was developing within a certain span of time from Confucian, and in 7th century AD, actually it was put as a main classic, just for the educational world administrative system, which is called the system of Kejui, or exams for the officials, just like this. And so it was actually the text number one for the education of management mind of the administrative class, like this. So you should understand, because there is a very prolific illusion in the West, that this is a divination book. Just mystical something, but nobody knows what mystic within, I say the two approaches. One is it's the textbook number one for the development of the management and so sort of management business administration for the complex human system, human communication system. It was like this by the fact of its existence, because you never could be put in any position in the administration if you didn't study this book. It's like this. And the second one, by the genre, you may say that this is actually a universal temporal semantic code, like this, which teaches you to understand how actually this operation system operates with the units of consciousness in time. Consciousness in time, because I say that time exists only in consciousness, but consciousness exists only in time. And both of them being incarnated in your body, and body is being instrument of the transition or conductor, semiconductor. I sometimes say half jokingly, half seriously, this human being. And I study a physics of human temporal semiconductor, because in only one direction you can conduct the time, like this. You don't have a universal, absolute conduction, properties like this. So it's like this. I say that I mentioned four fields, which I study my own consciousness. First of all, I'm interested in Chinese or just Egyptian or something, because first of all, I'm interested in myself. This is my life. I want that this before until I finished this sport game, which is called my life. I would like to understand what it was for, because it's not at least clear. So, I've chosen Chinese field because I have seen that this is only one existent total system. You see, of course, there are some parts damaged, but they exist, all of them, whatever part of the field of the cognitive universe you see that what it was here. And if you try to compare it with the system which you have, you say, okay, I felt there was something here. It must have been here, but it doesn't. It's not here. It's something substitute, some surrogate, because I take this holistic image of the universe, of the conscious universe, which is, I see, Chinese culture preserved. And I try to put it to myself, in order to try to understand to myself, because what I like in Taoism, they say about physical immortality, and it's, of course, all your mind, all your reasoning says you that it's impossible, of course, all your experience say that it's impossible. You must die, your body must die someday, Buddhism say that the diseases is inseparable from your being, and so on. But okay, good, why not to try? We have a good example, somebody tried. Nobody knows whether they really achieved this goal, whatever. Yeah, I don't care, I will try. And that's what I do. And the book, which is called Tao Te Ching, This is the main book, you know, just in Taoism. This is together with Yellow Emperor Classic of Medicine, Internal Medicine, you know, just and Lao Tzu Tao Te Ching. This book, which is called The Art of Ruling the World. It's not necessary, not literally, because Russian word управление is it's at the same time management, ruling, or something else, you know. It's not because which world you try to rule, you know, just or to put it in order. Because if you take Chinese character, the character Zhi, which is translated as a ruling, you know, just it's interesting character. And in Chinese medicine, zhibin, to rule the disease, to put in order. It's, and if you say zhiguo, which means state, it means rule the state. Mm-hmm. And it's been antonym to the words which is made disorder. Disorder in the state, disorder in your organism, in your body. Like, so just, and originally it was related, this term was related with irrigation system. You should make your channels, channels of water, or channels of energy, you must make them not blocked, you know, just unblock them, you know, just let the fluid or energy flow freely without hindrance. Like this, you know, so just the art of ruling the world, this is the art of ruling of your world, of course, of your role, which you have, which you, not to rule what you don't really have in the world, you know. And so this one, this book is based on the Tao Te Ching. There are 81 chapters here, and 81 chapters, every chapter had three parts. Why? Because I said that human being must deal with three aspects of reality. And the first one is your state of your mind, consciousness, body is your state. The second one is your actions, deeds, deals, doings, so on, which are just which you exert, which you cannot cannot not to do. You're just doing because what else, you know? You are just doing because this is the world and you consume this world, or this world consumes you and you try to transform it into some equivalence of values in order to protect yourself from the force of circumstances which always threaten to you by getting worse and worse and worse until you die, you know, like this, or there will be a war, or America and Russia and Ukraine and Israel and the climatic global challenges, whatever fucking shit this from the internet coming in our poor heads, you know, just like this, yeah? But anyway, this is the feeling, you know, that the circumstances are always getting worse. So what we are mostly care about, this is our state, which must be, how I say it, you know, just at least calm, calm and clear. And this is the state of spirit, the state of mind, state of spirit. A state of spirit must be immoved, or just unmoved. It must be calm and quiet, like this, you know, just you should be able to keep it in any circumstances. But in order to protect yourself from this getting worse circumstances all over the time, you know, you must have values in order to make some blocks, because you feel that they will turn off the electricity, all my family will get in frozen, you know, just and die from the, when we lose our job, we don't have a food, we shall starve. And also, just then the nuclear bomb is always lying on our head from nowhere, you know, like this, you know, just all the time. Now, we all of us, we felt this in our life, everybody, you know, just like this, this shitty story of modern humanity. And so, three, and there are three parts of your world, I mean, state, action, circumstances. And there are three parts of your personality. One is dealing with state, One is dealing with actions and one is dealing with circumstances. So I say there, I call them in ordinary consciousness situation, you try to protect your state with values which you try to grab in the process of action in order to protect yourself from the circumstances, in order to protect your state, but you must spend your state, which is your most valuable thing, just in order to protect yourself. And so it's, you know, vicious circle which you cannot get out from like this, you know. Just I say this is ordinary consciousness structure. And actually you should be, according to Taoist approach, you should the calmness or quietness, it's unconditioned, you know. You just in order to get calm, you need no condition, you know. In order to worry, you have all this world, you know. Just all this world always troubles you, and only bridge over troubled water. And then lie me down. But this world, the traditions say, it's okay. You know, you just don't care about it. You just what Confucius say, don't care about what people think about you. Just care what you think about people. You just to reverse this sort of thing. And in order to reverse it, you should begin to control your state, and in order to make actions in full awareness, aware actions, watchful, in order to be able to coincide, to make a circumstances coincide in good successions, in order not to deal with bad circumstances like this. So you have three actor in your personality. One is creative state master of creative state of consciousness, or just I would say it, master of creative games. Just because only being able to play games with the world, you are able to be in a good state all over the time. That's first. The second one, you should be aware of your body actions, because what is actually action? What is actually deed? What do you do here? What you mean when you say you do what you do? What's happening in reality? What is it? And so I say that in your body you have presentiment, first of all. This is most basic thing, you know, just not even yet sensation, but that's what comes before the sensation is coming into your conscious field, you know. Just when you make any sort of practices, you know, you understand, for example, I'm gonna just to sit lotus, and I know before I do it that here it will be some hindrance, and so I should be careful. And whatever action you have this pre-something presentiment, you know, just this is the first. And so with those presentiment, if you have a feeling at the same time and image, then it becomes movement. Presentiments always become movement. Presentiment means that something begins to move in your body. And this movement, if you put it with image, it becomes action. Action. Then it's action. And if you see the meaning in action, it becomes business, doing, you know, just. And if you have aim, then it becomes an event. And in the process of events happening, the values are being born from nowhere, you know, just by the friction of the fields of perception of different beings of the universe, like this, maybe just approximately. So, if you are aware of what you are doing in every moment of your time, because whatever you do, time is always goes by its place through you. We are getting older, time is going, tick-tock, tick-tock, always. Any Right. You may be not aware of it, but tomorrow will be another day. And every day have its peculiarities. And it has its specifics, you know, just, and this specific is predictable, actually. But in order to be able to predict it, you should be enough, you should have enough of good energy in your body, you know, to just, and it's bodily energy at the same time. And so the second part, the first part, what I say, this is creative game actor, which creates art, which is creator, which is artist, actually. Whatever, if you make all your life, all what you are doing, you make an art, you know, just you are able to control your state of consciousness, always to reduce it into a state of calmness, like this. The second one, but you should be aware of your action, because if you're not aware, you will always feel danger, you know, just. But at the same time, there are two currents or two flows. One is inwards and other is outwards, you know, just which in this point of their meeting, you know, just that what's called present, which is flow of past and future, because present, this is always point or just surface of meeting, interaction surface. Convection border, you know, just like this, of the past and present, you know, because in Chinese it's not past and present, it's coming and going. Something is coming and something is going, and it depends on the your sensitivity, how far you can see there from where it's coming and how far you can look there where it's going, like this, you know, just because all time exists simultaneously, and all those, you know, just centuries and millions and billions, because it's not about numerals, it's different, you know, just it's a Abrahamic approach to the time, which is based on the Book of Torah or Book of Genesis, where you have the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the end is apocalypse, you know, just the end of time. And it's like this. But if you say the time ends, there is no time already, you know, just Chinese tradition is different. The time is always existent, and it's always existent in past, present, and future simultaneously. It depends on your on your ability to be in this point, you know, not to lose yourself. And so the second and the third one is the master of ruled coincidences. How you can manage coincidences. So how can you do so that you are always in the point where you must be? And it depends on your ability to react properly and timely in all the those elusive challenges which life shows you or gives you in order to teach you how to be calm and quiet all the time of your life. So three parts of every 81 chapter, each one is written from the point of view of game player, creative game player, with the other is I forget this word, a conscious actor, maybe conscious actor, or conscious, or watchful, or aware, I don't remember the proper word for this, you know, just because it's need good translation, and not my level. And the third one is master of ruled coincidences. And so, but and the verbal structure is fixed, a skeleton from Tao Te Ching. So it gives you, so you may open it in every, for example, that one who moves to his target by the way of universal laws never put the force of destruction in order to cope with the reluctance of the surrounding, you know, the media. He never interferes into the process by direct efforts, which are directed on the destruction of the hindrance, you know, to just in this case, the counteraction, you know, the counteraction and reward, what's coming back, is you will always pay for this, for such a effort, and you will have to spend not less and even more forces in order to get rid of the consequences of your activity. And so it's like this, you know, it's just, for example, it's just, 30, number 30, and you have three, one is War and Peace of Every Day, which is called. And so the actor, this conscious actor, always moves himself in activity by the aspiration to understand the sense of being and to guess the riddle of your higher meaning, you know, just in this world. And if you rule the people in their action, you will never should raise your power with the help of weapon and by and so on. So this is a big book, which, and so this is the number 30 chapter of Tao Te Ching, and this one number 30 and this one, but this one from the, because if you take Tao Te Ching, the person who is addressed to, you know, get Lao Tzu, whom does he write to? He says about the wise man, you know, just, but wise man is also, I would say, very not so clear translation of the character, you know, it's a character, because it consists of three parts. One is ear, here is the first one, the other is mouth, and the third one is the ruler. That's what's, who is a wise man. And here is, you know, just ear is number one, because it belongs to water, from the elements, and the mouth belongs to fire. It, rear is kidney, mouth is heart, and the ruler who rules the interaction of water and fire. It's about alchemy, the character itself, you know, just. And so, actually, and what is a wise man and what is a wisdom, technologically? A wise man and wisdom, the person who is a consciousness of the process which are going on his consciousness, like this, you know. If you are able to watch and control those processes and to be in time to see what's really happening, what's going on when you are doing this or that and so on, that, then you are a wise man in any, not any other, you know, just you are busy with your consciousness. That's what wisdom called. Not because wise men try not to interfere in the process. It's not. Because if you see from the outward relative, wise man, Merlin, for example, or something like this, you have an image, it helps to king. Sometime a wise man helps kings, you know, just. And if you see a Chinese history, you will see that every founder of the new dynasty always had some Taoist beside him, you know. And this is... for example, Zhu Yuan Chan, which was founder of the Ming Dynasty, had Li, what's his name, Li Ji, oh, it's okay, the person, you know, just, and Tan Taizun, everybody has some Taoist who was responsible for the transition of the dynastical power from one ruler to another, like this, you know, just. But wise man, actually, once he sees that the process, because if he is really a wise man, he knows the time when he should to withdraw from the process. If he's not so, he's originally punished, a capital punishment. He loses his life, and so he's not a wise man. Because it would be better just to... Now, the wise man knows the time when he have a possibility to go out from the game. You know, that this is a wisdom. If you, I have also one book, which is called The Art of Playing Games with World, or Art of Playing with World. Also in this city, maybe in Alessa, she has all the... It's a good book, you know, just it says about how you play games. If you are a game player, I am a game player, you know, just because I'm on the road, I have a big family, I have a lot of... But I don't care about this world, you know, like this, yes? Yeah. So, good book. It's quite popular in Russia, actually, in some high-level management and some, you know, just like this. Many people have it, you know, it's maybe 10,000 or just maybe 15,000 already published, you know, it's published with it's big quantity for such, it's quite... Not cheap book, no, just not paperback. So it's quite popular, and it's good. It's really good. It's worth of studying, you know. Just it helps to not to be involved too much in this, I would say, confusion, which is called modern life. Nightways, you know. So it's about Tao Te Ching. I have another translation as well of Tao Te Ching, I really love Zhuangzi, but most of the translation which I have, because Tao Te Ching, I have also translation of Tao Te Ching for the person who wants to be in the healthy state of mind, you know, or to be healthy. And I made a translation for the real political ruler. I also made such translation and something else, you know, to just say, from time to time I'm coming back. For example, when I begin to edit the book, you know, I always make a new translation. I'm a maniac of writing something, you know, just it makes me more quiet than I'm when I try to formulate something, you know. I like translations, you know, and I love writing books myself, you know, just writing. I'm writing mostly now I created a person who is called Wei Dehan. I created... some people think that it's some wise man of the 3rd century AD. Some people know that that's my alter ego. And so, but I wrote several books on the name of the person I wrote. But mostly I write very many short citations, you know, just short wise thoughts, maybe like this, you know. Just for example, this book, yeah. It's the last book, which is really consists of, you know, just, which is called Wei Dehan. Wei Dehan is Chinese. It's my Chinese name, which was given me 30 years ago, maybe, you know, just by some Chinese person when I came second time to China in 1988, maybe, just in Heilongjiang, which is called the River of Black Dragon, you know, just like this. And there was a guy who was trading by his year of birth, and he gave me this name. And at the time, if you just put it in Chinese internet, there are a lot of about myself, you know, Wei Dehan is Chinese people know that I'm Wei Dehan. They know me as Wei Dehan. Wei Dehan, it's so blow the breath. Wei, it means blow. Blow, and Dehan, it's breath. Sounds very similar. Vei dehanie. It's like this. And so it consists of like this. It's a nice book. I like what I really like. I like this is my all my art. For example, you should the fear you should turn into happiness. This is a real alchemy. Vei dehan. Like this, for example. And here is my poetry, you know, just and this again. Nice. What do you have in your heart, my brother? Preoccupation and consideration. It's very difficult to having this to get into a clear state of mind. Wait a minute. It's like this. I wrote thousands of such phrases, you know, just, which are very popular. And you, if you write, type it in Russian, citation of Wei Dehan, you find many. So like this. And but now I also wrote a big book, 365. I took the citation and I wrote a parable on every of this citation. And I also wrote a very big consideration or my what I think about it or something like this. It's very difficult. It's very similar. Maybe James Joyce Ulysses is like this. It's just it's new type of genre, which I now just going to produce besides Eurasian fairy tales, which I also write now, you know, just the other type. I say that history, because I really study Chinese history. I love Chinese history, because if you say about ideology of Chinese, of course, it's not socialism or it's history. Chinese people know how to preserve the history. They remember what's history. History, this is decisions, activity, and actions of specific persons and specific circumstances. That's what history is, you know, just when you should make a difficult choice. And to make the right choice, when it depends, for example, on the existence of your body or your family or of your state or something like this. And Chinese history consists of this. It describes specific persons, you know, just which live in specific circumstances and make a specific action in specific, you know, just surrounding, like this settings. So just I love Chinese history. They tell about people, and for example, when you there is no other history in humanity, unfortunately. All those are which we call history somewhere in the Abrahamic country. It's mostly the story told by the ruling people, trying usually understanding nothing about time and history, you know, just and pursuing very transient aims, just trying to grab this power, which is always risking to lose, you know, something like this, you know, all these cheaper things. And in China, the history is the history, the main science, you know, just like this. So just, for example, Li Shimin, which lived in 7 AD, or just Liu Ban, which lived 300 BC, they're full of details, you know, they are alive, they are bodily, carnal, you know, flesh and blood, with all these doubts, which began a founder of the dynasties, which took a very difficult decisions like this. And they, and when Chinese say that we are successors, heirs of the Yellow Emperor and Shen Nung, Huangdi, and this is the Communist Party leader Xi Jinping on the Congress of the Communist Party. He so addresses to his people, you know, we are grandsons of Yellow Emperor. It's very minor things which makes China a very interesting country like this, you know. Just they know something about the time. They know that 1,000 years will pass as quickly as 10 years, you know, just. And if you address into your future, if you address to the grandsons of your grandsons, you should, but you should able to keep it in your consciousness, to keep in the span of your spirit, you know, like this. So the history, this is the other of my admiration. In Chinese, and Book of Changes, of course, Book of Changes of course tells you how the situation changes, you know, just your situation. And for example, the succession of the hexagram of signs, because it's really high level semantics, temporal semantics, what I say, for example, it's begin from heaven, or but what's about heaven? It's heavenly energy and earthly energy, the second one. The third one is called difficulty, or the beginning of difficulty. It's whatever you begin or whatever you think you're gonna do, or it's always you have enthusiasm first, then you try, and then you see that you lack a lot of things, always like this, you know, just you need this or that or something, you don't have people, you don't have enough of resources, and this is a difficulty in the beginning, but if you have the difficulty of the beginning, then you understand there are a lot of things which you don't understand, you don't know, and so the third one is about education, you should, education and nourishment, you know, you should nourish, you should bring up yourself, you know, you should, because any new action, this is a challenge which allows you to raise, you know, yourself, to get to a new level, you know, of your development, to develop yourself like this. But once you see that you don't have enough of resources, you know, just it's time resources, because you should do it at the same time, and you should at the same time buy food and pay salaries and so on. And so you have resources problem, and you should wait. You should not be in a hurry. And the number five is waiting, you know, just waiting. And possibility to wait is very difficult things for human being, because we are always so much in a hurry. Yeah, from the every morning to the every evening, and even when we are sleeping, we are in a hurry. You know, just we are trying just to be as quick as possible to the aims which are, you know, just confuse our vision. A state of vision like this, and so on. 64. You have a 64 of those, you know, just stages, which are very logical. If you see the logical, you see this line of succession, how one turns into another, and it's because. And because I'm also very interested in cybernetics, you know. You know what means the word cybernetic? Cybernetic. What? Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I ask this question for thousands of people. Very few know this is cybernao in Old Greek is to rule the community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And cybernetic, the science of ruling. What are you going to rule? You rule the consciousness of the community. Mm-hmm. And cybernao is to rule the sheep. It's interesting that most of the people, well-educated people, don't know what that this word means and how it was launched, the cybernetic. Cybernetic was launched with the aim to rule the communities, because it was launched at the project in 1949 in Iceland, I suppose, or just in Palo Alto, of the region, as a project which the World Cybernetic Society was created by Nobel's winner, Gregory Bates and Margaret Mead, Václavik von Neumann, those people who had who wanted to make the something in order to rule the mind of humanity. Like this, it was very clearly declared, you know, just in the beginning. But the problem is, and now we have all this, you know, just we are already somebody is watching what I'm saying and so on already, you know, just all, because time is confused. So just but at the same time, the problem is they didn't have any idea about the time, a physical time, a real time, a sensible time, which is a part of Chinese tradition, because in Chinese tradition it's impossible to understand something outside of the time context, you know, just what's most part of the Western Abrahamic science is that don't have time as a real factor, actually, like this, and mostly psychology or just medicine and so on, because in Chinese medicine they know that it's different. Now they know about chronological medicine, chrono medicine, and so on. But Chinese medicine is chrono medicine. They know where energy is and what's doing in this part of time of the year, of the season, of the day, of the hour, and so on, like this. So what's created now, you know, just as AI, you know, just artificial intellect, you know, just because first Gregory Bateson created a concept of the mind, because he's one of his main treatises, books, is Mind in Nature, mind in nature. And Norbert Wiener, who was a mathematician, you know, just made a mathematical representation of this, and then they made the first computer. And then in 1984, the first Macintosh was put in the market, and then there was the first smartphone, and then they're here, you know, just with all new payment, you know, blockchain, big data, just and GPT chat like this. Now we are here, and we are interacting, you know, just like, and it's very difficult to get out from here. You know, that is almost impossible because it's a part of very domestic, you know, just very routine, yeah, way of life. So like this. And there is a Chinese approach to all of these things, you know, just which I'm trying to understand and to put it into. Like this, it's about my Chinese. It was a short excursion about my Chinese interests, what I'm doing there. I practice Qigong, and mostly I practice meditation, or just it's what's called sitting.
What was it specifically about Taoism that interested when you were younger? I mean, because
Yes.
Also, mm-hmm. But there's something very fascinating about it. Like, at least for me, this idea of, kind of as you described, this idea of ruling, but ruling from the inside, but also ruling from the outside, and there's a real simplicity to it, and yet there's also a complexity of the universe, of medicine, of arts, of meditation, of alchemy, of immortality. Was there something about that system that really you felt there was something there that was really calling you?
Yes. Because what I have seen, the Chinese medicine, which was very practical, you know, just which really healed the diseases, and Tao Te Ching has the same system of mentality, the same system of notion, the same symbolical succession of the values and so on. So, the Tao Te Ching, which was presented in the society where I lived as something ancient wisdom, seemed to me very interesting and calling me to understand, because I was 24 maybe, just when I have seen this world, look around, and I have seen this ashram, just madhouse, something like this, with it was the end of socialist system. It was 1981 when I was 24, and it was very, very absurd, you know. Just I have seen a lot of people who understand nothing about this reality from my point of view of young men, you know, just but they had to tell me something, you know, that they tried to teach me something. And I have seen that my answers to my questions, I can see this, I had this feeling, sniffing, you know, just, you know, I felt something must be there. I should learn all this old Chinese language in order to read myself, in order not to believe to those people who make a translation. I see it because I had a feeling, you know, I'm very easy with studying languages, you know, just always was, and now as well, you know, just now I'm not interested because I found my satisfaction of all my interest in ancient Chinese, because it was language which was impossible to learn, really, you know, just so it takes all my life in order to learn this language. But I had felt that those ancient texts, for example, when you encounter with Zhuangzi, you know, just Zhuangzi, which tells you some story about the human, if you want to take a pointer in order to point in the pointer, what is not pointer, you should better to take not pointer in order to point in pointer, what is not pointer. If you want to take a horse in order to point in the horse, what is not a horse, you should better there is something in it which tells you you should maybe learn it by heart and maybe repeat it many times in order to understand what is this. And this is the same with any trace of Tao Te Ching. You see that Tao Ke Dao Fei Chan Dao Ming Ke Ming Fei Chan Ming, which means when you are in the way, but it's not an eternal way, or just if you know the name, it's not an eternal name, or you should read it because you know that no comma or dots, it's just a whole text. you know, just and you should see a construction, you know, just a linguistical construction. For example, first line of Dao De Jing, Dao Ke Dao Fei Chang Dao. Dao, which means Dao, the way, or just truth, actually, because the way this notion came to linguistic system of the Western language is like a neologism, you know, just it came from there, you know, just the way. Because I suppose we didn't say about the way, in the we put in this place the notion of truth, istina. What's ultimate truth, what we were looking for, we were striving for our Greek philosophy, that they wanted to catch the truth, to understand the truth, to live in truth, like this, you know. So the way is possible, but how they say, Dao Ke Dao, the way is a possible way, but it's not. And it constant way, or the way which is possible is not a constant way. But the other alternative is that the way of possibility and the way of impossibility together make a constant way. You also may put it like this, you know, just you, at least you have, it depends on the sacralization of tradition, what tradition you listen to, you know, just, or you may put it way, possible way, but not a constant way. You may put it like this. You know, this is the same as a hexagram, which consists of six lines, and here you have six characters, like this, and you can read it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or you can 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like this. It depends, you know, just, but, and you have different realization of the meaning, like this. And so, you see, and when I encountered to this, you know, just, I was looking for really something deep in it, you know, just, because I felt that always people say to me, you know, you shouldn't not too deep, you know, just why, it's on the surface, you know, just live simply. And I'm okay, I'm not so reluctant to live simply, but I want to know the truth, like this. And I felt the truth is there. And so I began to study it, and I realized the most difficult book of Chinese tradition, Book of Changes. So just I aimed into this basin. And I'm still swimming there.
Can you speak a bit more about the Book of Change? Because I think a lot of people are familiar with it. But like you said, many people use it for divination. They open up and they're like, oh, should I do this or should I do this?
Okay. Yeah. Book of Changes. Yeah, of course you. And I would say that Chinese civilization is divinational civilization, prognostication of prediction, you know. But our mind is predictive mind, you know. Just you always, your mind is always calculating what be consequences or succession of the consequences of his action. Always, you know, just doing something, you always pre-vision, you know, just how it will influence on future and so on. But in China, they made it a science, you know, like this, because, and but what they say, a noble man, Junzi, master of himself, I would say, Junzi, which is mostly translated as a nobleman, never make divination for himself, because what for? No reason, you know, what's happened, happens only what's gonna happen, you know, just what must be, what must happen, you know, whatever, you don't care about it, you should do what you must do, you know, just what you must do, you must understand yourself. That's only way. And if you do it properly, nothing bad can happen to you. And, you know, just because you correct yourself, because they say, what's most important thing in this life? To correct yourself, which is called self-perfection, or just self-improvement. In a literal form, Hu Sheng, it means to correct yourself. To correct. It means that something is incorrect in yourself. What's incorrect in yourself? Incorrect is you don't have a sincerity of the heart, and you don't have a sincerity of your thoughts, you know, like this. So you should be clear in your heart that you are sincere, and you should be truthful with yourself. And, for example, if you have anger, or just irritation, you can never be in clear mind. If you have happiness or just you like something, you can never be in clear state of your mind. But in order to correct yourself, you should be in clear state of your mind. You should be sincere with yourself. And so, and this is where you, if you have grief or any kind of emotion, you know, which you don't, if you are not able to calm down yourself, by yourself, that's all about. And I have seen that Tao Te Ching tells you about how to do it, you know, just, and Book of Changes make, it's like a scheme, like architecture, a drawing, you know, just that you see how this reality is put from what blocks and what blocks you should move. It's like this. But it's in time, because what I say, maybe I don't know whether you pay attention, that I say that time is only in consciousness and consciousness is only in time. It's very difficult to put in our Abrahamic head this concept, you know, just the time, because this is the same as cybernetic. When you ask what time is, most people say time does not exist. Time is an abstract thing, you know, just it's numerals, it's the date of the salary or something like this, the date where you should sign a contract or a time when you should go to bed. It's conditional. Yeah, it's conditional, but consciousness is function of time. And time is function of consciousness. The Book of Changes is about this. Of course, you may apply it for divination. And you may, you can make this calculation, you make a prediction, only in order to check whether you think right or not.
And what is your idea of that Abrahamic way of thinking, that that consciousness like presupposes time? That
negates. Reluctant to have a time. Mm. Because, so it's a Chinese way, which is, for example, there is a Tao of holistic truth, Quanzhen Tao, which means you are always in time. In Abrahamic, you know, just is discrete. Lost. Always holes, you know, black holes. You are here, then there are, where is this day? Where is this life? Where is this year? Where is this life? Something lost, you know. Just, you, if you are not in flow of time, you know, just you always lose energy, and from time to time you are in the sheer lack of energy, you know, just, and you, what's the sheer lack of energy? That you feel the time, life is senseless, you know, just the world is threatening, a lot of enemies around you, and so on, all this sort of thinking. It's Abrahamic approach to the world consequences. This, you know, just, I suppose it's just, I love poetry, you know, just, and I love reasoning, I love put words together in very different ways, you know, just not necessarily that it's like this, at least, but I have these things, you know, just I put them together, just sometimes I take them apart. Mm-hmm. Not to be serious about your own conclusions. And now conclusions are such, and then they are different.
It's interesting this way you translated this idea of to order, to bring order to something.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the traditions I work with, it's one of the pillars that they speak about, which is in order to heal, to bring harmony to, there mm-hmm. has to be order that's brought. Is that something you could speak a little more about? Because it's interesting also that idea of ordering.
Order and disorder, this is the main political, yeah. Actually, political notions and pillars of Chinese way of ruling the state, you know, order and disorder. And power is designed only in order to keep this order, not to allow a disorder come into Europe, you know, like this. And so you should predict, you should foresee what's gonna be. If, for example, if you eat too much food in the evening, you will for sure will feel it in the morning that it was too much, you know, just and something like this. And or if you drink too much or something like this, you know afterwards, you know, just, but to keep this world in order is to do everything before it happened. Mm-hmm. And this is the main idea of Tao Te Ching. You should keep problem, or you should block problem before it is born, before it is.
This seems like a big part of also, I think you also translated Sun Tzu, like
Sun Tzu,
the,
yeah, translated,
the,
yeah.
The art of war.
Yeah, this
is actually the highest form of warfare, is to
stop translated, war. Yeah, translated, and I've made the metaphorical card, mm-hmm. But I've made a very good translation, the art of war with yourself, how you vanquish yourself. I've written on the basis of the book of war, on the sense Sun Tzu, you know, just I've made this translation. I've made translation of the 13 chapters of the book of war, but also then I've rewritten it, retranslated in the form the war with yourself, how you wage your war with your wishes or just impossibility to control yourself and so on. I have done it. I've already done it. Now it's in publishing, you know, just that must be, it's very, and I also united it with the Book of Changes. I separated 64 blocks, and so I've drawn 64 cards. It will be very interesting project, and you know, just because it's very interesting how you wage your war with yourself. For example, because you know that you sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You know that you should not react like this in the situation like this, but how you should do it? Well, because something, there are some enemies in yourself, and you know? That's like this is very good, very interesting book, which is done.
How do you approach translation? Because, for example, I probably have 5 copies of the Tao Te Ching, and each one is, the essence is somewhat the same, mm-hmm. but each one I gain something very unique from. So I imagine that must be very challenging, how to formulate.
Yeah, I understand. What I really appreciate, this is feeling, you know, just maybe I'm exaggerating my sensitivity, but when I translate Lao Tzu, I contact with Lao Tzu, with Lao Tzu. And my translation, this is also a big book like this, for example, like even more than this one, because I make 3 parts. One part is wordly translation, you know, just word to word approximately, because there is no word to word, there's no possibility. The other one is some explanation, and the third one, my ideas about it, is the biggest part, which makes it alive, which gives you a hint how you put it in your life, like this. I don't believe in the possibility of exact, very clear, sharp translation of such text. Impossible. Book of Changes or this one or any pre-Han, which is pre-Han Dynasty, before the Han Dynasty text, you know, which is or before Qin Dynasty, which is called the Warring State period. It's impossible to make clear and neat and correct translation. You will always have mistake. You must remember about it. You know, you should take into account, you know, this factor. You will always have a mistake, and they. Because when I make translation, well, this is one volume, there are 3 volumes of the Book of Changes. This is a compilation of 17th century by the Prime Minister of Emperor Han Sili Guangdi, who made a compilation 250 interpreters of the Book of Changes. So just I really compared 250 or 300, you know, just this is another translation also, also this one, for example, which is called Taoist Alchemy of the Changes, which is translation This is also translation Book of Changes. I have 25 volumes of the translation of the Book of Changes, different commentaries. And you see, they are very different approaches in Chinese scholars of old time. I translated the commentaries beginning from 200 BC up to modern translation as well, because I also listened to the lectures of good Chinese people who also explain Book of Changes, also very clever. So, for example, this one, there are three volumes like this, which is called, which is Ming Dynasty, which is 16th century or 15th, now, which is called Zhou Yi Shi Lun He Bian, or just compilation of the series from the time in the Book of Changes. Very interesting. Look. Maybe I will not translate it already, because it's enough, you know, just because I say that I have almost 25 volumes of translation on the Book of Changes. Now, and this is, for example, it's also different. This is 16th century, also just like Judah. Very interesting. There are going to be also three volumes. Okay. I've already translated in publishing house. This is the first one. And this one, so I've made a lot of translation, and they are always different. And every time I begin editing, you know, just I will better make an translation. But this is the nature of sacred text. Every new period of time you approach it, you see it in a new way. And, so this is a Tao Te Ching. You asked me about Tao Te Ching. So I do it with Tao Te Ching the same. I don't pretend that I will make you. I can make my feeling. And I really feel it's very popular. It's also very, I would say, intellectual bestseller. You know, just among 10 years, they sell it the same quantity every quarter of the year, you know, just 500 books, is just very stable. And people read it, you know, just because I share my feelings about it. I share, but I know that I've made also just poetical translation, and make so just sometimes I've even begin to write a novel where I intertwined, you know, just all this Tao Te Ching, you know, just I written two volumes, you know, big volumes of the novel, and so on. You know, just I don't, the main thing you should, for example, when I have a conflict with somebody, if I know how to put Tao Te Ching there, then I know something about it. If I written very, very nice translation, but then it's just shit. Nothing. Like this. This is my criteria to this, and Book of Changes as well. How you move. It's very important, and that's, but you should remember that this is the same time, this is a textbook of just working with your body. And if you know how to be in a good state of your bodily state, you know, just when you do really, when you really do, when you are breathing or just doing something with the state of your body or mind, and you know, all those principles are there. And you check it by what are you doing with your body. And there are some things which are impossible to talk to anybody, what's going on in such period of time. Mm. And no way, and no use. Mm.
You also said you translated the in English, it's usually the Yellow Emperor's mm-hmm. Treatise on Medicine. Can you speak a bit about that? Because I think a lot of people listening are interested in medicine and in working with plants and holistic medicine. But it's very revolutionary. Also, this idea, like you mentioned, that medicine also correlates to a time, to a place, to a, even mm-hmm, to an exact mm-hmm. hour, to organs that, mm-hmm. that our liver may carry anger, our lungs may carry grief, our kidneys fear. Mm-hmm. It's quite revolutionary in that way of that time and place of mm-hmm. that era of China, which is really giving a tremendous amount of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. You know, just because Yellow Emperor Treatise made the basis of all Chinese medicine in modern time as well. You know, just a good Chinese doctor he really know how to apply it, you know, just because it's what is medicine. First of all, this is a full description of how your body operates in time, of course, in interaction of inner and outer world, like this, in time. Yes. And this is the reaction of your body to the cold and heat, to the dry and wet, to the wind and the fire, and so on, like this, in time. Because now, for example, here it's quite dry because we are, it's wood, you know, just it takes water. At the same, it's cold weather. And if you feel how it works through you, you know in what state of mind, what you should eat, what should you consume, or you shouldn't. And studying those books like this, you gradually developing yourself a real bodily knowledge, what to do or not to do. What's really good for you, because what you are doing is good for you, not in the moment when you are doing it, but in the next period of the cycle. It depends. And you do this, for example, something you do what you see tomorrow at the same time, and something you do what you feel in half of a year, and something you will feel when you will be 80, if you will be happy to achieve such an age, you know, like this. So, and if you know about the time, about how it works, and the knowledge of Tao Te Ching are applied to the book of Yellow Emperor Treatise, you know, just it gives you at least assure you that life is more stable, you know, just and in Yellow Emperor Treatise, they don't talk a lot about plant medicine, and there are another different, So, there is another book about plant medicine, you know, just, which is called Shen Nun Ben Cao. I didn't translate it, but also the basis of Chinese modern pharmacology, I mean traditional medicine pharmacology, modern, and this is the book of Li Shi Jin. This is the book of 16th century Taoist Li Shi Jin, who lived in the mountains, you know, and he wrote a great, great book on pharmacology, where he actually described all the things, you know, just all what you can consume in your body, including minerals, including, you know, plants, including soil, whatever, you know, just water, metal, mushrooms, fungus, and so on. It's different, but it's also part of medical knowledge, you know, just it's, and actually it's not, it's all Chinese medicine, first of all, they use, most of the people know about acupuncture, but few people know that acupuncture without drugs, you know, without pharmacological, without plant medicine, without herbs, is not as efficient as it can be, you know, just because a real difficult disease, which is difficult to heal, healed not with needles, you know, just only with usage of herbal medicine. And this is also a system of knowledge which says how, and it's also based on the Yellow Emperor Treatise, because the Yellow Emperor Treatise says you about your five organs, six organs, 12 meridians, 24 collaterals, 365 points, acupoints, and the function of those points, and so on, you know, just about the energies, and the eight strange meridians, and so on. You should know the system, you know, that because if you consume the drug, you should understand, because they almost never use in medicine, they never use one component drug. They always make some components, because if they make some recipe, there is a ruler, there is a minister, and there is a servant, you know, just, and you should counterbalance just according to your state. I'm not a doctor, first of all, I must say. I never was interested in medicine in application to anybody else. I never tried to heal anybody, you know, just but because mostly I work with myself, and I am mostly in the state which doesn't allow you to get in the state of disease. It's like this, you know, just but I should know the system in order to be. And so it's very, also very complex, you know, just because every, what they call every taste gets into proper meridian and exerts a proper effect there.
You're drinking tea right now.
Uh-huh.
And this is, I think a lot of people don't think about tea also as a medicine, as a drug, as a pharmacological,
mm-hmm.
as a ceremony, as something spiritual. What are your thoughts on tea? Why do you consume it? Why? I mean, you're also doing it in a specific way, in a specific ritual. And there's also a real culture, a real history.
Yeah. Like tea culture is very interesting, you know, just that tea culture. Actually, I've created the first tea house, Chinese style tea house in Russia, just in 1990 something, you know, just in the end of 90s, you know, just in beginning of 2000. Just because I always loved tea, and tea was called in Chinese tradition Bai Bin Zhi Yao, or medicine of 100 diseases. Which if you use tea, the tea, the effect of tea on your body. What's interesting in Chinese approach, you should learn how to consume anything at all, you know. You should learn how to consume of food, because food is also at the same time as medicine, you know. There is no such food notion of food, but most of the food notion in Chinese, it's like dietology, you know, just dietary. In Western way, you know, just they should call balance, you know, just all those components, you know, which also gets into the meridians and so on. So everything which you consume gets in the very complex system of your body, and you should take it into account. And I love tea, and tea is good for me, you know, just that, because I consumed tea many years already, 50 years maybe, you know, just good tea. Mm-hmm. What it gives to me? It gives me a possibility to use the energy of the tea, because tea gives a very specific energy. What main effect of the tea is sober up. It wakes you up. And because I really, most of my practice is concentrate on the way how to wake up and fall into sleep, to be consciously get into sleep and wake up, like this. So just, and I drink tea because something in you which really try to absorb you into this sleeping state of mind, of body, of life, and so on, to just gradually. And the tea sober up you, just to give you energy. I love to wake up early, before 5, every day, many years. And so everybody asks me, when you fall asleep, you know, sleep, I say, it doesn't matter. It's most important when you're waking up. I fall asleep when I want to sleep, you know, just when I'm ready to sleep. Yeah. Very good. And tea helps in this way. And at the same time, I love, for example, I love Chinese jade very much. You know, I like stones, love stones, and I feel, you see, I like that. I feel free. I think he's must be. Well, that's good. Such things, you know. And many people ask me, what does your breast mean? Nothing. I don't know what does it mean. It's meaning is not there. what they do, you know. I feel them. Yeah, of course, they are not so comfortable to sleep with it, you know. But it's also interesting. And I always sleep with just having in my hand. I always sleep, for example, like this. This is my gadget for sleep. When I sleep. And I sleep, and it's my pillow, like this. Yeah. And why? Because I feel comfortable with it, you know. Just I feel comfortable. I sleep on such a surface, you know, like this. And because I wake up early, and I just, first of all, I see it. I begin to remember where I am. And get ready to a new day.
Before we started, you showed me a jar of Amanita pantheria, Amanita muscardia.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the mushrooms that grows around here, and it's a very interesting medicine, mushroom, food, nutrition, even maybe. But there's a lot of legends around this mushroom,
mm-hmm.
for medicine, for shamanic purposes, mm-hmm. for spirituality. I think even some of the like indigenous people of Siberia work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about like the history, the tales, why it's used, how it's used?
Actually, I'm not so much interested in it. You know, just all those stories. I'm not really much interested in a shamanic way. Of course, I can. I'm very pragmatic, you know. Just I can say that I'm a shaman if I feel a profit of such a statement, you know. Just I'm not, of course, you know. Just I don't want. I prefer not to do something for people, you know. Just beside any ordinary communication, I love my family. I make some services, you know. Just I do something, but I don't try to. I'm not a teacher, of course. Yeah, of course, I'm not a teacher. I have nothing to teach people about, you know. It's just I can tell stories. I can lecture sometimes, you know, like this. And I love drugs. I mean, I love plants. I love herbs, and I love muscarina. And I tried first maybe 1983, maybe first I tried it, you know, just very long before all the stories about dosage, how you say, micro dosing and so on. Just and I had a period maybe 25 years ago when I ate a lot in the forest. Just I took it. I'm not afraid of plants, of herbs, you know, and just and I am not eager of the. Looking for some state of mind, you know, just my highest state or hallucination. I'm not at all interested because I see this life as such a hallucination, you know, where I am. It's enough for me. You know, just, but it's good energetic project, the same as tea. The same. If you are able to take an appropriate time and appropriate dosage, it gives you enough of energy to conduct your time through yourself in a good way. It's like I tried, of course, I tried psilocybin, I tried ayahuasca, I tried iboga, I tried the LSD, I all tried, not my problem. I don't like it. I don't hate it, but it's not my product. I don't want to do it.
But Amanita, you feel connected to?
I love tea. Tea is my product. Maybe cannabis. Cannabis, but you should also. I use it sometimes. You know, just never smoke. Never smoke. Eat. Mm-hmm. And of course, you should use it in practice. Never. It's a waste of energy, you know. It's just, of course, I respect very much energy or ayahuasca and shamanic medicine. I have a great respect. I like rapé, Sometimes I use it, but I do it myself always. I don't like it to do it ceremonies with somebody, you know. This is the same as with Amanita muscarina. Like I know what to do it for myself, even not so clear, you know, to try to share it with somebody else. But what tea ceremony, just to drink tea together, just to talk about anything, you know, it's good. But this is the same as about wisdom. You should know in detail what's happening in you, in all parts of your universe, if you consume something. And you should be responsible, because we all are very interconnected vessels, I would say. And to my mind, it depends on situation. I can say that I'm Orthodox, I can say that I'm Taoist or Confucian. I don't say that I'm Buddhist. It's not my way, you know. Just I can feel myself Orthodox. I never go to the church or just, but I love some Orthodox prayers. And I like it, you know, just I remember my grandmother. It's okay. Okay, I can say I have some friends, just among priests. That's because it's part of my tradition, you know, just about. I have my own way. I go by, just, of course, I'm not, Indian way is not mine. Just maybe, of course, the way of Indians in Peru is much closer to me, but that's not why I should go there. Maybe if I be there, just, of course, we can look at the eyes of each other, and that's okay. This is the same as the Chinese Taoist. I never try to connect with him or just communicate. Okay, good. I lived in Chinese monasteries, never communicate with Taoist. It's okay, it's your way, it's my way. We go by the way. I had a very good meeting once in Beihai, which is Guangxi province. It's in the border of with Vietnam. And I went by the route, by the street, and I have seen very peculiar man. I've seen very unordinary, you know. I said that the unordinary person, and I said hello in Chinese. Oh, you look so interesting, you know. I also not look ordinary man as well, you know. Yeah, I said, oh, it's interesting. Yeah, who are you? And he says, I'm Taoist. But Taoist is Tao Shi and Tao Jia. Tao Shi, this is a person who is in religion, Tao Jia. And Tao Jia is the man of the way, not in religion, and the man of the way. I said, oh, you are so good man, you're so interesting. Maybe we should change the ways of your communication. What for? What for? If it's our destiny, we shall see each other again. I said, good words, guys. It was nice to meet you in the universe. So this is the same, isn't it? I love Taoist monastery. I love spiritual places, you know. I love spiritual people. They are more interested. No, actually now just the world is so confused, you know. And you see some people with billions who are also quite spiritual with their billions or something like this. The world is not unilateral, you know. The world is interesting game to play.
Well, beautiful. Any questions that you have?
No.
Yeah. Well, this was beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we end it?
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking the time and for inviting me into your house and sharing in food and tea and just sitting here and listening to you. It was really a pleasure. So thank you very much. I deeply appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity just to practice my linguistical skill, which I use so rarely. And I love to speak English.
Yeah. Hey, you speak amazing.
I know my limits. You know, I speak in many languages, but I speak equally bad. equally corrupted language. I just don't care about how I use it, you know. This is the same as I translate all these Chinese books. I sometimes say I'm lucky, you know. For example, my publishing house, I know that I can give him anything what I do. We'll take a sheet and just like this, and they will publish it, you know. It's like this. I'm lucky in this way. I'm lucky because I've been studying old Chinese language for 50 years, maybe because of this. This is the source of my luck. Mm. And I've been studying it, you know, just because I've been studying old culture. And when I say I've been studying old culture, it's not that I was studying. I was trying to get a real contact. A real alive content, just to make this wire by which the energy goes. So just I am living not only here in Pereslavl-Zaleski, Moscow in 2024. At the same time, I live BC somewhere in China. I live everywhere, and it's literal. It's literal. But at the same time, of course, I'm lying all the time. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the opportunity, you know, just to share.
Thank you.
And good.
All right, everyone. That's it. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. It was really fascinating for me to sit down and speak with him. I think there's a lot of gems in that episode, really in him sharing with his wisdom of this deep knowledge of these very, very beautiful and ancient texts, such as the Tao Te Ching and the Yellow Emperor's Treatise on Medicine, which is really one of the original texts on working with systems of medicine and, you know, really, really beginning to deconstruct the human body and look at it in piecemeal, but also as a holistic organism and how everything is interrelated and even a lot of the basis of this work of plant medicine as well. So I hope you found that a fascinating conversation. I certainly did. As always, if you're able to help to support this podcast, that's a really big help to me. Patreon is a really good option. It's a subscription service. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. So if you feel like you're gaining something from this podcast, that's a really amazing way to give back. There's different tiers you can sign up for. Those tiers give you different things back, things like early access to shows, bonus material, Q&As. To all the people who are supporting that way, as always, thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it. And if you're able to, thank you in advance. If you're not able to do that, as always, helping to drive the algorithms is a really big help to get the show out to a bigger audience. So if you're viewing this on YouTube or Rumble, hitting the subscribe button, turning on the notification bell, liking the video, all of those things really help, leaving questions or comments in the comment section. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leaving a starred rating and a short review. So I think that's it. I'm not exactly sure of the order of my upcoming guests, but as always, I hope to continue to bring on some really fascinating people. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode and just this podcast in general and that you're gaining something from it. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope this finds you all well, and I will see you all on the next episode. Oh,
to